Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to my podcast, Introverted Queen, where I, an introvert, have conversation with other introverts about living in an extroverted world. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome. If you are a returning listener, thank you so much for listening, supporting, and sharing these episodes. Can you believe it's season 4? I am so grateful for this community, and I'm happy to be back after a summer hiatus with more conversations. I hope you had a great summer. I gotta say, summer flew by, but my summer was great. As we're already nearing the end of September, and the weather gets cooler, the kids are back in school for another school year, the fall season is a time of new beginnings, a refresh, or a reset, and pumpkin spice everything. September reminds me of opening a fresh new notebook or a planner or starting a new project. New beginnings can also come with a set of fear, self-doubt, uncertainty, people not understanding your journey, and a lot of negative talk. You may even be tempted to sabotage your success by procrastinating. Can you believe that? Why do we procrastinate? On today's episode, we'll be digging deep on procrastination, and I am chatting with the lovely Ingrid. She is a registered psychotherapist who practices an integrative style of counseling, drawing on family systems and solution-focused techniques. It's a great conversation. Check it out. Hi, Ingrid.
Hello, Cindy.
How are you?
I'm good. Glad to be back.
Thank you. Thank you for coming back, I should say, actually. So today we're going to talk about procrastination. I thought it was a good topic to talk about, especially with, the season of fall and like Everybody's into this, trying to figure out a routine, new beginnings.
Yes.
And then there's the dreaded procrastination.
I almost hear the looming deadlines, yes. The exams coming, things need to get done. There's the spring cleaning, but then there's the fall fix up, I like to call it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
So our first question is, why do people procrastinate?
So I like to think people procrastinate. The biggest thing that comes to mind is it's a learned behavior. Mm-hmm. It's something that we learn as we grow. I'm going to take it all the way back. We know about Pavlov and his salivating dogs. But another one of the experiments that were done, it was called a shuttle box, and then the signal. So you put an animal in a shuttle box, and there'll be a door that cuts that box, that room, in half. And if the door is open, the side that the animal is on, there's an electric shock that comes up, and the animal knows to run to the other side to avoid the negative feeling that comes with it. Excuse me. The other side to that was then, okay, you're in the shuttle box, but before we give you the electric shock, there's a signal that's coming. We give you a light, and now you recognize before the electric shock, the light's going to come on. And so you know what? I better run before the shock. I know what's coming, so I'm going to run. So really what they've done and what happens to us as human beings is we have now an emotional response. It's physiological, so our system starts to react. We get anxious, our hearts race, we can't take a deep breath, we get hot and sweaty or really cold, and then it's linked to the experience that we're having. And then from the physiological comes the experience and the emotions that come with it, and then we go into the behavior. How do I avoid what it is that's about to happen? So really, procrastination is the anticipation of the negative consequences of our actions or lack of actions and the anxious feelings that come up from it. Mm-hmm. So what you find is to try to avoid the anxiousness of sitting down and getting the work done. Even physically, the act of a physical job that needs to get done. We tend to retreat instead, and we're essentially shutting ourselves down.
Yeah, it's so true. And I find sometimes, like, let's just say you have a task that's a little bit difficult, mm-hmm. and you procrastinate, you don't do it. And then finally, one day you wake up, okay, let me just do that thing. And then you do it and you realize it wasn't so bad. Yeah, so that's it's interesting. But is it ever, like, are there any positive aspects of procrastination?
So the quick and easy answer is yes. There definitely is positives to procrastinating. Mm-hmm. Number one, as soon as you make that decision, I'm not going to do that now, I'll do it later, there tends to be an immediate feeling of relief. All the negative feelings that I had swirling in regards to this, what my physical body is doing in regards to this thing that's coming up, I put them aside and I can relax now. So it actually decreases your stress. And to tell you the truth, procrastination is something that is recommended as a short-term fix. So if this is a short-term thing, you need that time, that moment to just take a step back, there's nothing wrong with it. Mm-hmm. Even if you practice moderately to avoid something, it actually helps you to deal with the intense feelings that you're having. It helps you to deal with stressful situations, especially situations that we cannot change. There's nothing that we can do to change what's happening. So we can control ourselves. So we can kind of calm ourselves, sit back, take a step back, relax. It helps to prevent anxiousness getting to be to a point where it's overwhelming. Mm-hmm. The problem with it is the long-term excessive practice of procrastination, or really just avoiding something that needs to get done. Now, I tend to see clients that are working in healthcare, working in, I would say, stressful professions, but I also see a lot of students. And one of the things I like to mention to them, if you think of an assignment that's coming up, you know that due date is a month out. And there is this feeling of, oh, this is so overwhelming. I have so much work to do. There's so much research. There's too much. Let me take a step back. But I like to tell them, you know, there are ways to look at procrastinating that could be positive for you. If you're using brain energy to generate, okay, what do I want to research? Okay, this is the topic I want to research. That's the step towards getting it done. Mm-hmm. You may not have sat down at the computer and started writing or actually did the research, but that brain work that's involved in what do I want, the first question, what do I want to research? You made the decision. That's a step on the way to getting it done. The next time it comes up in your mind, I really got to get this done, it's looming, then you actually sit down and get a little bit of research done. So you figure, okay, I know the topic. Let me search the topic, go through all the different options. Let me save a bunch of articles. All right, step two is done. So if you're doing that once every 2 to 3, 4, 5 days, depending on your deadline, the next step maybe, you sit down, you open up a Word document, a Google Doc, and you put the title of what your paper is going to be. Then maybe you add some titles of things you want to talk about. So here's my intro, here are my paragraphs on what I'm going to write about, here's my conclusion. Mm-hmm. Then you get up, you're done. The next time you come back, now you're going to write a little bit of the intro because you've read a few of your articles. So the time that it takes to slowly get the thing done, it might feel like procrastination, but really you're working. Your brain is working and you're doing the thing that needs to get done. And it doesn't feel as overwhelming because you're not sitting and trying to pump out a paper, a project all in one night. Mm-hmm. So thinking of it on a short-term basis, no problem. When you start to do long-term excessive avoidance and procrastination, it actually ends up prolonging and increasing the emotional distress. It actually convinces you that any feeling that's uncomfortable is a bad feeling. And then it starts to hinder the way that you, the way that you practice resiliency. Mm-hmm. So you start to then believe, you know what? This feeling is so uncomfortable. I can't manage it. I can't handle it. I can't do this. And then that is now a practice that continues onto anything that feels uncomfortable. Because you are consistently withdrawing, procrastinating, pushing things away, you end up not really fully enjoying and engaging in life. So I think it's something to keep in mind on the short term, in a very, I would say, practiced short-term use, not a problem. Once this is now an excessive, regular, anything that feels uncomfortable, I'm going to avoid it. So think again of the signal. Oh, my friend wants to have a conversation. That can't be good. Let me push that off as long as possible. Oh, I have this event that I need to go to and I'm really not looking forward to this. I'm going to end up being late because I'm procrastinating on getting ready. Oh, that project or paper is due at work or at school. Well, now we're down to the last minute and either I'm losing marks because I have not taken those slow, really the slow short-term procrastination steps. I've pushed it to the excess and now I'm in a situation.
I love that you gave the example of procrastinating a difficult conversation because I think I've done that several times in the past. And then what happens is when you do end up having the conversation is that so much time has lapsed. There's been so much, like, let's just say miscommunication, silence, that it becomes a bigger deal than it was supposed to.
Exactly. And had we learned how to be resilient in the tough times, so whether it's, again, a paper, a conversation, even just a confrontation. I mean, confrontations are extremely uncomfortable. No matter how much you love or hate them, they're uncomfortable. But if you have that, if you have the practice of, okay, you know what? Let me get to it. Let me engage in it. Let me move forward. It reduces the level of anxiousness that you're dealing with.
Absolutely. And I love that you gave those steps because I think the first thing you think about something difficult is, oh my goodness, I have so much things to do.
Yeah.
The overwhelmed. And then you're like, okay, I'm just not going to deal with it. Put it on the back burner. And then the anxiety grows.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Is there a personality type that tends to procrastinate more?
My easy, quick answer again is no. I believe that as human beings, we all, more than human beings, as just a functioning organism, we all procrastinate. We all have those things that we don't want to do. There might be certain people that would be more anxious within their nature. So whether it's a physiological, biological experience, whether it is, so I'm going to take it back to another experiment. You may have heard of the secure child. So how is your attachment with your child as a parent, with your parent as a child? So if a child has a secure attachment to their parent, they're trusting, they know that they can trust what the parent is going to do. If my mom goes to work, I can trust that she's going to come back. Now, there are attachments that are much more anxious. So I'm not 100% sure what's happening. Today, I'm the apple of your eye today. There's nothing that I can do wrong. But by tomorrow, there's nothing I can do right. So there is an unsureness of who am I? How do I behave? What do I do moving forward? So definitely we have experiences in our childhood that can have us leaning to be more anxious in general as a person. We have experiences that are external from our families. If we're living in neighborhoods where there is a lot of gun violence, if we are living in war-torn countries, definitely we're more susceptible. But as humans in general, we all lean towards, there's a saying I heard once, as humans, we run towards pleasure and we run away from pain. So we are in general going to lean away and disengage from the things that are uncomfortable for us. So I can't say, you know what, this particular personality in particular, yes, they always procrastinate over someone else. I would say think of it as, it's just part of our human nature. We don't want to deal with the uncomfortable, unfun, boring things of life.
Yeah. And I think what I've come to realize also over the years about procrastination is that I think when people label you as, oh, you're the procrastinator, it comes with the word lazy.
Yes.
Sometimes attached to it.
Yes. Let me say right off the bat, for every single person that ever hears this in the history of the land, procrastination is not laziness. Mm-hmm. Procrastination is sometimes not something that you can control. Mm-hmm. Things in our lives, especially behaviors, emotional experiences, mental processes, sometimes these are not things that we can control. Mm-hmm. If you're not aware of what the root of the situation is, it's something that's automatically happening. Laziness, I would say, is a decision made to not act, whether you want to or not. I would say you normally don't want to, so you don't. Procrastination is avoidance. Procrastination is, I am having an overstressed response to something that's happening within me or around me. It's a conflicting, it's a ball of conflicting emotions. That's how I would describe it. Mm-hmm. So it is not laziness, not in the slightest. And I think a lot of us beat ourselves up because you're lying on the couch, you're watching TV, you're binge watching a show. You don't even remember what happened in the last three episodes because your brain is actively disengaging and disassociating from all the emotions that are swirling within. This is it's a coping mechanism. Procrastination mm-hmm. is a coping mechanism. It is not laziness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really interesting because I think when you're avoiding to do something, let's just say the example that you give about binge watching, and then somebody comes by and they're like, oh, look, she's resting again.
Yeah.
She's been resting for like 3 hours now.
Yeah.
And what you don't realize is what's going on in the person's head is there's so many overwhelming thoughts about what I have to do. I'm not sure how to do it. And sometimes it's not even about, I think sometimes the procrastination comes with somebody who's also not confident. Because I find sometimes with me, if there's a task that I need to do and I'm not sure how to do it, let's just say at mm-hmm. work, and I'm like, oh, I shouldn't ask. I should know how to do this. And then you're like, okay. Let me see if I can do it tomorrow.
Definitely. I think there are people that are confident in what they do and also they procrastinate.
Yeah.
Just because, so let me put it this way. Just because you do something well, it doesn't mean it's something you want to do. Mm. And I find a lot of people, there's mm-hmm. that idea of the reward for being a good worker is getting more work. So just because you do what you do well doesn't mean it's a comfortable experience either. And then there is that idea of what if I mess this up? What if I don't do well? especially with the idea of, well, there's something attached to this that's looming and I can have a negative consequence when this comes down the pipe as well. You want to look at the consequences of the action or lack of action, yes. But there's also an idea of, I know the reward that's going to come. And being rewarded can also carry its own level of stress within a person. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there is the idea of, you know what, I'm not really sure about what I'm doing. But there's also the other side of that coin. I know exactly what I'm doing. But that doesn't mean that I like it. That doesn't mean that I'm comfortable with it. And maybe I do like it and I'm comfortable, but not today and not in this particular situation, or not if I have other looming stressful situations in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very true. So you mentioned some like coping mechanisms that people can use in order to not procrastinate. Is it something that you have to practice all the time?
So I like to say when it comes to coping mechanisms, number one, we all cope. We may or may not like the way that we cope, but we all are already coping to some level. Mm-hmm. Now, if you are coping to a level that you do not like, so we call it maladaptive, that means that you want to change it. But if this has been your regular coping mechanism for eons, then it's going to take practice. So when I think of practice, look at it as, I want to run a marathon. I've decided I'm going to run a marathon. And leading up to that marathon, there's no practice, there's no jogging, there's no running, there's no stretching, there's no strengthening. You are just having your mind, September 30th, I'm running a marathon. And on the day of the marathon, you get dressed and you go out and you run. not the best idea physically for your body, but the same is going to apply for any coping mechanism that you want and that you feel is good for you. So it's adaptive. Any coping mechanism that you want to introduce into your life is going to take practice, mm-hmm. because a lot of what happens in our systems when it becomes overly stressed, it's an automatic response that we're having. We're going to have an automatic physical response. We're going to have an automatic behavioral response and emotional response. Mm-hmm. And depending on who you are, depends on which one comes first. Usually as humans, our physiological response comes first, but some of us can't tell. So by the time you identify what it is, you may now be at the behavior stage. I've acted and this is not what I wanted to do. Or you may be at the emotional stage. I'm angry. I'm sad. I'm upset. I'm frustrated. And I'm now realizing, okay, something is up. So I always say emotions are clues, but if you're able to tap into your physical body, you'll be able to feel, okay, my heart rate increased. I'm not able to take my breathing is much more shallow because your body is ramping up almost for like a fight or flight. Mm-hmm. What's next? So we know about fight or flight. The supposedly newer version, or what did I say, the sister of fight or flight now is freeze. Mm-hmm. And if you think of avoidance, you think of procrastination. Sometimes you are fighting what you have to do. Sometimes you're running from what you have to do, but sometimes you get frozen into place. And procrastination often falls into, I'm frozen. I'm on the couch. I'm not moving. We call it a feigned death response. I'm going to take a nap. I'm going to sleep. I'm completely shut down. I'm on autopilot with all things. I'm not actually here. So in terms of starting to cope with procrastination, practice, cope with anything, practice is key. Nothing is going to beat practice, because the more you practice, the more you're going to be able to do it. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest ways to start to cope, we have to be able to manage the stressful situations in our life. That means the things that you do have control over, how are you able to say no when you have to say no, even if you want to say yes? How are you able to disengage from a person or a thing that is not going to be helping you to focus on the things that you need to focus on? Now, there are stressful situations in our life that we cannot change. So again, if there's something you can control, you want to be able to pull it under your control so that you're not overly stressing yourself. Mm-hmm. Now, again, some of this is actually going to sound like procrastination. And that's because in short term, it is a good thing for you. So you do need to sometimes disengage and divert your attention, again, short term, so that you can calm your system, so that you can focus and then refocus on what it is you need to be dealing with, working on, going through. Mm-hmm. Now, the biggest part, I'm going to go back to that idea of what's your body doing? What are the responses, the physical responses your body is doing? What are the emotional responses your body is doing? And now what's the behavioral response? You have to be aware. If you're not aware of what's happening, yes. Then how can you recognize when it's happening or pinpoint the pattern of how it's happened in the past? If you are aware, if you can recognize the clues, the traits that as they start to happen, then you have more control over starting to shift. Mm-hmm. You have to be compassionate with yourself. Again, procrastination is not laziness. Naming it laziness is being critical of yourself. Telling yourself, I have so much work to do and I'm just here doing nothing. Or I went and had fun and I should have been doing. You're being overly critical of how you're managing, how you know to manage the thing that is extremely stressful for you. You have to give yourself compassion. You have to recognize that you're doing the best that you can with what you have in that moment. And again, you want to look at how can I make sure that this is not where I sit and live. So I always say with clients, you want to think of you're walking through the forest of the thing has to get done on the other side of the forest. And procrastination are the trees that are shading the hot sun. Sometimes you need to take a seat in the forest and rest so mm-hmm. that you can get up and continue the journey. Yes. The problem comes when you pitch a tent and you start to lay down bricks because you want to live in the forest. The mm-hmm. forest is not for living, it's for hiking through.
Mm-hmm.
You want to review your values. So who do you want to be in life? How do you want to show up in life for yourself and other people? If you can start to, if you take a seat in the forest and rest in the shade and then start to focus on what are my values? How can I actively engage in my values to move forward? Then you can stand up again and keep moving. And you do want to set goals. So again, think of that idea of, okay, the project is due at the end of the month. All right, well, you know what? By this date, I should know what I want to talk about. 2 days from now, I should really sit down and actually look at some research. So setting goals along the way, think of it as checkpoints in the forest for how you can sit and rest. You're not sprinting to get through the forest. You're taking your time to go through. And sometimes you need to stop and collect some clean drinking water. Sometimes you need to stop and take a nap. Sometimes you need to stop and smell the flowers. And that's not including rest for refocus and engaging. Mm-hmm. That's time for you.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes if you set the goal, if you make a plan, not only for yourself, but if you start to include other people, so who can hold you accountable? Not who can hold, not who can be critical over you, not who can shake you out of what you feel is a time of rest, but who can you walk alongside in that forest and help you know, okay, I've hit the next checkpoint. It's time for a nap. Now it's time to stand up and walk.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite things, you need to test for and identify what behaviors help you. Mm-hmm. I had a very, very tough psychological class in undergrad. And one of the best pieces of advice my professor gave me was when you're studying, so if you need to read 600 pages for the next exam, when you're studying, I want you guys to stand every 20 minutes. And I want you to walk away. And essentially taking breaks and knowing in my head every 20 minutes I'm allowed to take a break and disengage from the thing that is stressing me out, because reading 600 pages over maybe a month, when you have one class and there are 4 to 6 other classes, it helped immensely.
Mm-hmm.
Standing every 20 minutes gave me the opportunity to break my deep, intense focus on what is stressing me out, to disengage, to take a short-term procrastination break, and then come back and refocus.
Mm-hmm.
Some people look at procrastination as, so there's the idea in therapy of, is something, are you functioning well? So when you're not able to function in your day-to-day life, this has now become a real problem. So if you find that you're procrastinating to the point of, you know what, I'm struggling at work, I'm struggling at school, I'm struggling in relationships, I'm struggling in things I need to do around my home, now functioning is not happening to the level that we want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
So now I would say it might be time to actually sit and talk to someone.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there are deeper issues that are going on that we need to deal with. Part of procrastination, because it is tied to a stress response. Again, some of us have had much more stressful upbringings than others.
Mm-hmm.
And there may be things that we need to deal with that we haven't dealt with. There is a book called The Body Keeps the Score.
Yes, I've read that book.
Exactly. Our physical bodies know, okay, the fall is coming. It's a time for buckling down. It's a time for heading back to school. And even if you've been out of school for decades, our systems know from our early childhood, it's September, something needs to shift, something needs to happen, something's coming down the pipe, I got to get ready.
Mm-hmm.
If you've lost a family member or a friend, if you had a traumatic experience, our systems will start to react leading up to certain dates. And if you're now not recognizing that your system is reacting to something from your past, and you have stressful deadlines, you have stressful conversations, there's other stresses that are happening, there's an undercurrent of stress, and then there's what I'd like to call kind of like the tidal wave of stress that's happening at the same time. It can become too much. So when do you actually start to take the steps towards, I'm going to actually seek help. I'm going to seek help to speak out my thoughts and feelings. I like to say some of us, our brains work better when we can speak everything out loud. It helps us to rearrange, especially hearing one's own voice, and then to put things in a better order for us to be able to move forward. And then there's good old deep breathing. There's nothing like deep breathing. Mm-hmm. Again, I often tell clients, deep breathing, it's still think of the marathon again. You can't be having that huge stress response and then think, I gotta breathe deeply. Number one, your brain's probably not gonna think breathe deeply because it may not be recognizing that you're not breathing deeply. So it's something I'd say, you wanna practice deep breathing as well. So think of deep breathing as exercise. First thing in the morning, I open my eyes, I'm coming into the consciousness of the new day. You wanna do some deep breathing then. Same thing when you're going to sleep, you want to do some deep breathing then. But things like, I just walked up a flight of stairs. Okay, my breath is a little bit labored. You want to do some deep breathing then, because you're teaching your body how to control what the physical stress response normally is. If you did a workout, you want to do some deep breathing through your stretching. Mm-hmm. It helps to bring your system down. And then what you're doing, again, is that learned behavior. When my heart rate increases, when I feel my system, I'm overheated, things are too much, the first response now is you got to control your breath. Mm-hmm. Meditation is usually another good way to look at disengaging from what's happening. You're looking within, you're bringing yourself down. There's usually deep breathing involved in meditation as well. You are taking the focus off of the stressful thing. You are refocusing within, bringing into some level of awareness, and then you're able to shift the focus to go back because now you've calmed yourself. Mm-hmm. And for some of us, journaling is a good way to do that too. Mm-hmm. Some of us work best by hearing our own voice. Some of us work best by writing out everything that we're thinking. Mm-hmm. I think the last thing and the biggest thing that I would say, if you want to look at coping, you must be realistic. You can't decide, you know what, that's it. As of tomorrow, no more procrastination. I'm not avoiding anything. I'm going to hit everything head on. I can do this. You tend to set yourself up for failure. Mm-hmm. You can't think of anything that we want to quit and do the opposite. It's not impossible, but it is pretty tough. When you've been practicing and coping in a particular way, again, for years, you need the practice and the compassion of, I messed up this time and I didn't hit the mark that I set for myself. I didn't hit my goal. My plan shifted. The compassion for yourself will allow you to shift a plan, allow you to make a mistake, and allow you to try again, because it doesn't feel like you failed. It's just practice. Mm-hmm. No problem. Even let's think of, I want to eat healthy. And I made it 5 days straight. I didn't eat anything with sugar. Day six, my system took over and I ate something with sugar. Beating yourself up and being critical will quicker lead to going down that road even more. Mm-hmm. Whereas compassion and forgiveness for yourself will actually say, you know what? That's okay. I messed up today, but tomorrow's a new day and I get to start over.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So many good tools. I think the one that stood out for me the most is just being self-aware. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we forget just that how our brain functions, our bodies, and that, you know, we're all on a different journey in life. So this self-awareness is so important. And I love that you said that. So, yeah.
Deeply important. Mm-hmm. We get so caught up in the stresses of life, in the relationships of life, in the tasks of life, that we don't actually pay attention to what's happening inside of us. Mm-hmm. And what's happening inside, again, sometimes it's biological, sometimes it's emotional, sometimes it's a thought process, and sometimes it's the behavior. So you're not even aware of what's happening until you've reacted or acted, and now you're trying to backstep the chain reaction of body, emotions, mind, action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you so much, Ingrid. This was amazing. Thank you for coming back.
A pleasure as always.
that was such a great conversation I had with Ingrid. I hope you found it insightful just as much as I did. One thing I took away from this conversation is that procrastination happens to everyone. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend, leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and please subscribe. Follow me on Instagram at introverted_queenblog. Thank you so much for tuning in. Take good care, and until next time.